I'm going to speak tonight just for a few moments on a verse of Scripture that was just read a few moments ago. As we come to this passage of Scripture, I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want everybody to close their eyes. And I want you to imagine in your mind's eye a tree. A tree that is a really huge tree, like an oak tree or a sycamore tree. The tree, imagine it's planted beside a river. The tree puts its roots down into the banks of the river, and the roots grow across into the water itself. The trunk of the tree begins to thicken, and the tree begins to grow upwards, and the tree gets stronger and stronger. It's permanently right there beside the river, and it's able to draw water, and the tree continues to grow and to grow and to grow. Now, you can open your eyes again. That you have that picture in your mind, and I've got that picture in my mind of what tree we have. And I want to say to you tonight, whether you're young, like the folk here at the front, or whether you're older, like many of the rest of us, in a different decade than the young people at the front, God wants you and God wants me to be like trees, mature trees in his kingdom. He doesn't want us to be like the chaff that we read about in Psalm number 1, just blown by the wind. When I was thinking of chaff, I was thinking, you know the way sometimes you see those lorries going down the road loaded with hay bales, the big hay bales, and the hay bale, there's lots of hay is blowing out behind them, and that hay just gets blown away as the lorry flies down the road. Whereas the tree stands, and the tree is in the same place, and it grows and it matures and it produces fruit if it's a fruit tree. And there's a total difference between that tree which grows and that chaff which just is blown away by the wind as it has come off the lorry, as it has moved along the road. And here in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church. And he is writing to a church, and he's encouraging this young church and the young Christians within this church. And you have testified tonight that you're young Christians, some of you, and that's been really fabulous. But there is a plan of God for your life, and it is that you should become a strong tree in the kingdom of God. Psalm 92, for example, talks about the people of God. They're like cedar trees in the house of God. They're like palm trees in the house of God, ever green and bearing fruit for God. And I want just to think for a moment or two, just keeping this whole thought about trees within our minds and what exactly is involved in it. If you think of that tree we talked about earlier, someone planted it beside the river. And whenever you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you hear, and you folks have testified about the gospel tonight, you hear that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Bible tells us that Christ died for our sins. When you believe that word, it's like a seed is planted into you. It's like a beginning of something growing. Life has been planted within you. James chapter 1 says, humbly accept the word planted in you. You have to accept that word planted in you. And whenever you believe that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, God's word begins to work inside you. And that's something really marvelous and something a real privilege to have. And this beginning is there. And it's something, if you think of a tree planted by streams of water, let me ask a question. If you take a tree and you plant it in a desert and you never water it, what happens to the tree, Ethan? It dies. Yeah, tree dies. If you put it in a desert and you don't water it, it dies. And there's a lot of folk in our world, and they're out there, and they're like planted in a desert, and they're just dying. They have no life. They have nothing to water their lives. They have no fruit. They're dying. They need planted into Jesus Christ, and they need this life of Jesus Christ inside them. And when that happens, marvelous things begin to happen within you. William Booth was a young man, the founder, if you've heard of the Salvation Army. He became a Christian. He was converted when he was 15. Some of you are maybe 15. He was converted when he was 15, and when he understood the wonder of what Jesus did for him dying on the cross, he said this: "I decided that God should have all there was of William Booth. I decided that God should have everything." And he gave his life, not just in terms of getting saved, but also in terms of saying, "Lord, just use me, Lord. Here I am. I just want to be yours. You can have all of me." And he served God, and he built up a marvelous work of God called the Salvation Army. So there's that planting of the seed, and I encourage you to receive that seed and to really nourish it and feed it. And we'll come to that in a moment or two. There's power within this seed, and I'm hinting at this as well. If you think of planting a seed and the seed begins to grow, if you've done this in biology, I remember doing this in school, germination takes place. You know that big word, germination? And the scientists even tell us they don't really understand why things germinate. You put the seed into the ground, you cover it over with soil, you water it, and somehow or other in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a green shoot comes up. How that happens, they're still not really very sure, even in these days of tremendous science. But a seed, when you see it in a packet, for example, it just looks dead. It's got no life. There's no shoots. There's no roots. It's just nothing. But put it into the ground, and this power begins to work. As the sun hits it, it begins to grow. There's a life inside it. And the gospel is like that. God's like that. There's a life. When you take God into your life, there's something there to grow even bigger. Never feel that what you've got is it. It's the start, but it goes on and it grows. Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Keep going. Keep growing. Keep moving on in your faith. The power within it, it's not something that is dead, but it's something that is alive, this power of the gospel. The third thing I want to talk about, just we've talked about the planting of the seed and the power within the seed. The seed penetrates into your life and begins to work in different ways. Paul says, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. Roots, what way do roots go? Do roots go up or do roots go down? Roots go down and shoots go up. Both things have to happen. You have to put roots down and you have to push shoots up. And the apostle here, as he is writing to these young Christians, he is encouraging them to grow in Jesus Christ. Grow, get to know Christ. If you want to know how to grow as a Christian, the answer is very simple. Get to know Jesus Christ and more of him. You find out about him in the Bible. This book, someone has said, will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. There's a little girl called Mary Jones who lived in North Wales. And she got saved when she was 8. And Mary Jones had no Bible, very poor. These were the 1800s. And she used to go across to a farmhouse across the fields from where she lived. And the farmer's wife had a Bible. And so Mary Jones went over, I think it was every Sunday, and spent an hour reading the Bible in the farmer's house. But she wanted her own Bible. And she began to save up money. She sold eggs on the farm, and she did odd jobs for people, and she got a few pennies from time to time, and she saved up money. She saved up money for 6 years. Now, where she lived in Wales, there were no Bible shops. You just didn't go down the road to the Faith Mission. There just weren't any shops. But she heard that a minister had brought in Bibles in a place called Bala. Bala was 25 miles away. So Mary had enough money. It was 25 miles away. How do you think she got there? Walked without shoes. She saved her shoes. She didn't want to wear her shoes out. So she walked 25 miles there, bought a Bible, and she walked 25 miles back again with her Bible. And that Bible was her friend until she died in 1864. She just had to get into God's Word. She just had to get into what this book was saying. And she gave herself to reading it and to praying over it and trying to understand it as the Word, this seed pushed down into her life. And then the seed also has to keep on going. Persevering is the big word that we use. Continue to live in him. And I encourage you to keep going on in your faith. Keep pushing on in your faith. A new Christian, a young Christian, can look very frail. A bit like when you plant, sometimes when a seedling is planted, whoever plants a tree in their garden, they might stake it. They put a stake in beside it and they use cable ties loosely around it and they stake the tree so that the tree has strength. And I encourage you to find a friend, an older friend, who will be to you like a stake. Someone who is bigger than you and stronger than you in their faith, and go and get close to them and try and keep close to them in their faith and learn from them. When I first became a Christian, I used to go to the evening service in my home church, and there was an old man who sat in the back seat, and I went and sat beside him every Sunday night. And there must have been about 50 years between me and him, but he was a real mine of information. He had been serving God for all those years, and he knew just so much more about the Bible than I did. He knew so much more about the church than I did, and him and I just talked. And I encourage you to find an older Christian, someone you get on with, and really milk them, and really learn from them, and spend time with them, and really try to grow in your faith. Sometimes as well, whenever trees, saplings are planted, they put plastic tubing around them. I think that's to stop the rabbits from eating the bark of the trees, but they put the plastic tubing around them, and sometimes you and I have to put, as it were, protection around ourselves and around our faith. You have to be careful about the TV programs you watch. To be careful about your internet sites you visit. You have to be careful about going to places, even if you're not drinking, but going to those places where maybe there's ways in which you can be led away from God. Be careful about the movies you watch, unsaved boyfriends or girlfriends. Encourage you to serve God. Think of ways in which there's a table out there in the meet and greet area, and it's got lots of leaflets on about the summertime. Don't just take, but you also have to give. Try and think of ways to be involved in SISM, perhaps, or Scripture Union, or CEF, or the Presbyterian team, something like that. I remember as a young Christian doing SISM. And I remember in a field, the thing that was really scary, they gave me, I think it was a memory verse to do. And you had like 100 children in front of you, and you had to do a memory verse. And the wind was blowing, and was it going to rain? And the children were restless, and you had to really work hard to keep their attention. But it made you really pray. It made you really seek God and ask for God's help. And I encourage you to get involved in God's work. Even if you're asked to do a small job like brushing leaves or labeling boxes or cleaning windows or washing and drying dishes, do it for the Lord. And keep going on in your faith and finding ways to serve. And the last thing here Paul talks about is what the seed produces. He talks about overflowing with thankfulness. I was trying to think of a plant that I have seen in my life which was overflowing with fruit. And the best example I can think of, remember seeing a vineyard once, and I saw a vines growing. And when you look at vines, they're all leaves, and it's quite hard to spot the grapes. But when you move the leaves, suddenly you see the bunches of grapes. There are hundreds, there are thousands of grapes on every one plant. They're just overflowing towards the harvest season with their produce. And Paul here says about overflowing with thankfulness. And I encourage you to be a thankful young person. And I'm telling that to myself as well, to be a thankful Christian. To be thankful for your local church. It's great that you belong to Drumrea Presbyterian Church. Be thankful for this church. They're not all as good as this. They really aren't. Love this church. It was great to see you in the prayer meeting and to hear the older folk praying for you. And let me tell you, they pray for you every week. And it would be great if you could come and pray with us and be thankful for the church and be thankful for the older people. Be thankful for the younger people, the kids coming up. You can befriend them and help them along. And I encourage you older folk as well to encourage these young people. I think of a man who every Sunday, and this is for the older folk, when he went to church, he filled his pocket with toffees. And after the service, the children queued up in front of him. He was in the choir, and they queued up in front of him, and he had a toffee for everyone. Now, there's a man seeking to encourage the young people. It wasn't good for their dinner that was coming up, but he just loved to encourage those young people, and they just loved him as well. And you can encourage the older people, and they can encourage you. And it's good to stick at your local church and to be thankful for it. But most of all, be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, overflowing with thankfulness for him, for what he has done. It's all about him. It's all about him and about his church and his people and his word in the Bible. And live your life in such a way that pleases him, that honors him. And you will produce fruit that will glorify his name. So if you're not saved tonight, I really encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ. To say, Lord, come into my life today, Lord. Come into my life to stay. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. And ask him to come in. And having come in, continue to live in him. Be built up in him, strengthened in the faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. Keep on going and keep on learning and keep on pushing on with Christ. Great to have you here tonight. Let's just pray together before we sing. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you just for this picture of a tree planted by streams of water. And we thank you that we can put down roots, Lord God, into Jesus Christ and into the word of Jesus Christ. And we can grow like a tree pushing upwards to the sky. And we thank you, Father God, just for the encouragement from your word that we should be such people, that we should go on in our faith. Help these young people to do that, we ask, Lord Jesus. We thank you for them, and we thank you for their faith, Lord God. And we pray that that faith will mature and strengthen. We pray, Father, that you would help them, Lord God, just to press on in that faith and to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. May each of these young people be like oaks of righteousness, trees like cedar trees or palm trees in your house. May we not, Lord, be like the trees out in the desert, planted in a barren place with no water, blown away when the storm comes. Help us, we pray, our Father, to be strong in Christ and to enjoy the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray these things in his name. Amen.